You're good. We're good. We're good. You got your coffee? They're good. So you're amped up, ready to go? Yeah. Do you take a double shot, triple, quadruple in the morning? Oh, just a straight up. All right. Drip. That's good. I don't even know what like one cup of drip equals in shots. Does anyone know? Anyone? Any Starbucks baristas? Any other baristas? Anyone? It's more than a shot. Wow. So I've been shortchanging myself this whole time? That's it. I'm going to drip. Some people just want to do straight IV, right? Just, yeah, whatever. Just get those caffeine patches, stick them all over the place. And then you, well, it's good to be here this morning. And July is over already, and August is dawning on us, and it's kind of exciting that the summer is cooking along. Literally, that was another lame pun. So. Remember, I was talking about lame jokes, so I got a good one for you. And this is an interesting joke, because today I'm going to talk about being offended, actually being unoffended. So when you do a sermon like this, it tends to mean that sometimes you're going to offend people, because you're going to say things like you need to get over yourself. But anyways, I'm going to tell you this lame joke, and then if you get offended by it, well, let's see how you still are after the sermon's over. And it's not that funny. This is like a clear dad joke, all right? We're sitting around on the camping trip. Where's Syverson? There he is. Yeah. And we were looking up dad jokes on the internet, so we kind of had a face-off. But anyway, so the other day I bought these shoes from a drug dealer, and I don't know what he laced them with, but I was tripping all day. Okay. Moving right along. As I was saying... Actually, I got to use that one. Someone the other day, one of my children said, I'm hungry, and I'm like, hi, hungry. I'm dad. I got to use that one the other day. But anyways, we have been talking about for the last few weeks about being untroubled, having an untroubled heart. And last week we talked about kind of reflecting on that, but also in an unhurried fashion. So last week was kind of untroubled and unhurried. And then so today we're doing another as I've already said it, and that's being unoffended. Unoffended. How many of you guys think that our culture is just like gets ticked off at everything nowadays? It's amazing. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, like, I read that there was actually a movement of people who were offended by the fact that the emoji icon for a gun actually looks like a real gun. They want it changed to like a squirt gun or something like that. And I'm like, why? Or, this one's on Christians. Do you remember, was it last Christmas or the one before where Starbucks, you know, they kind of supposedly de-Christmified their cups and everyone freaked out over a Starbucks cup not being Christmas enough. It's just like, wow. And, you know, it's like we got the older generation, some people, you know, they get upset with the younger generation because they don't like the way they do things. And then you get the young people who are old, you know, get offended by the older people because they treat them like kids, even when they're acting like it. You know, I mean, it's like everyone gets offended. And it's like you can't say anything now on the internet with any sort of conviction without offending somebody. Somebody's like, oh, you can't say that because that offends me, you know, and it's like everything. It's even funny sometimes we play these weird games in our brains, and it's like, okay, I'm going to do something really nice for someone, and I'm going to do it secretly, and I don't want them to know because I want to bless them. And then we get offended when they don't thank us for it or do, you know what I mean? It's like, but that wasn't our point in the first place. You know, we can get offended over everything, and offense is everywhere. And it's amazing how our culture has just gotten very, very sensitive. We're very sensitive now, you know, and it's kind of weird. And I think it really needs to stop. And like I said, you know, when we're doing a sermon like this, talking about being offended, I may say some things that are kind of offensive. Because the gospel and the Bible is full of things that actually do offend. Especially if... you know, you're in a place where you don't like anyone challenging you. You don't like anyone telling you what to do. You don't like, you know, it's like, I'll do what I want, right? I've said that many times. If that's your attitude and you don't like people pushing you, then you probably shouldn't read the Bible, because it's full of things that tell you to live your life different and to change your life. And it tells you to grow up and be mature and to serve others and all kinds of things that we can get offended at. You know, a few weeks ago, I mentioned one of the things in the scripture we were talking about Jesus being the only way. That's very offensive in our culture, to say that there's one way one way to heaven, one way to truly know God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Many people would say that's not true. That's offensive. Because what about all those other people? It's like, well, it is what it is, buddy. And so the other side of it is that we can be people who are offensive and in a really bad way, you know, where we just don't care. And so we start just gunning people down and saying stuff all the time and ticking people off. And I think I've told you this before, but I took a personality test a long time ago and it said I was tactless. And it was kind of funny. You can laugh. That is funny. And I'm okay with that. And I've learned a lot since then, you know. But I didn't have a lot of tact, and I probably still don't. And so, you know, one of my favorite lines when people would, like, say something, I'd be like, just get over it. You know, just get over it. And there are some things in life that we really do need to just get over because we get super sensitive. And the Bible tells us how to do that. So let's look at what it looks like to be living offended all the time. There's a great example of that, and there's a couple of versions in the different Gospels, but this is in the book of Mark, Mark 6, 1 through 6. It says, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. So Jesus is going home. Maybe it was a high school reunion, I don't know. The next Sabbath, he began teaching, that was another joke, teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? Then, so first they're amazed because he's doing stuff that's like, wow, this is amazing. Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. There they are. Look, there's his sisters. We can see them. They were deeply offended. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. So Jesus goes home and he's teaching and they're just like, this is amazing. The stuff he's saying is amazing. There's like a power and authority in everything he says. And then they're like, what? You know, this is Jesus, you know. You know, my kids played with him, you know, when he was younger. You know, we got to remember that Jesus had an entire childhood. So these people probably lived with him. They saw him grow, you know, and he's just a contractor. You know, he's just a construction guy. You know, he builds furniture and, you know, houses and stuff. You know, we know him. We see him. We've seen him all the time. Although I really would like to see, like, the houses and furniture he built. I mean, they were probably really cool. Maybe not. I don't know. But I'm sure he did a good job at it. I wonder if he ever cheated. You know, it's just like, no one's watching. Poof, chair. I don't know. Well, seriously, think about it. That'd be kind of funny. That'd be awesome. Anyways, so could you imagine being Joseph's father? They don't mention him at all, but, you know, after, but just like trying to teach him the trade. And it's just like knowing that this guy you're teaching how to, you know, build a chair is the one who created you. That's a really interesting thought. You know, he learned the trade from his dad and he was a carpenter. It's like, that's really interesting. But anyways, I digress. So they get offended at him because they're like, hey, we know this guy. And then that leads to them not believing in him or believing anything that he said. And so in this version of Mark, it says he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do any miracles, except a few of them. And it's not because, like, it's like this magic power and that the dark side was overcoming his light side, you know, and that kind of thing. But it was because they weren't willing to receive from him. And God's not going to, you know, force himself on anybody. It's just like they didn't believe. They were offended and they were just like, no, don't want it. So he came, you know, to offer life. He came to offer healing and wholeness and teach and preach and lead people into this place of life and wholeness. And they said, no, we don't want it. And so he couldn't do anything for them. And that all because they were offended at him. It's pretty hard to live a joyful and content life when you're offended all the time. It's pretty hard to live a life that honors Jesus if you're offended all the time. It's pretty hard to love people well if you're offended all the time. It's pretty hard to hear truth or to even more so, to receive it if you're offended all the time. You know, there are things that are truly legit offenses, right? There are things that are very offensive that people do. I'm not saying that. But there's probably way more that we get offended at that aren't. And that we're choosing to get offended, and we're allowing that offense to take hold in our lives. So being offended can cause us to miss out on what Jesus wants to do in us and for us, and what he wants to do through us. And we call that getting a hard heart. If we get a hard heart, then we're just in this place where life's just kind of bleh. I mean, do you guys know anyone like that? Where they get offended at everything? Where it's like walking on eggshells around them, because if you say something wrong, it's just like they're going to be like, ooh, you know? I don't know if you know that. Maybe you are that person. I don't know. If you are, get over it. I'm going to say that a lot. Anyways, it's true. We can get offended. Leads to a hard heart. Leads to us not being able to really experience Jesus here and now in a way that he wants us to. And it leads to a way that we're not able to go out and, more importantly, share love and grace with people around us. So, that's what living offended looks like. So how about living unoffended? How can we do that? Colossians 3, 12 through 13 kind of gives us the answers. It says, since God chose you to be a holy people, to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive. So, the first thing to remember to live unoffended is to get over yourself. Get over yourself. This is kind of a weird statement coming from a pastor, but you're not as good as you think you are. God loves you deeply, and you were created in his image, and so you have a value that is spectacular. You have value. But a lot of times we just think of ourselves as really awesome and really spectacular, that we got skills, we got it made, we got it together, we, me, I got this, I got that. And it's interesting because the scripture in Colossians, it starts out, since God chose you to be a holy people, God chose you. You're not in the position you are in life because you're spectacular or awesome or you have amazing skill set. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we need to get over ourselves and understand that this life is about God. It's about him. It's about glorifying him. And it's about the two greatest commandments that he told us to do, and it's to love him and to love people. And if you're offended all the time, and if you think you're pretty awesome, and if you're only thinking about yourself and you're stuck on yourself, then it's really hard to love God because you think you're better than him. And it's really hard to love people because you think you're better than all of them. And that's one reason why you get offended all the time, because everyone's an idiot, right? The world is full of freaking morons. That's what you think that. It's like, those traffic circles in Union Gap, I'm pretty sure God put those there to test my patience and my ability to get unoffended. Because there's nothing on this planet that ticks me off more than the morons who drive in those circles. What's really funny, though, is I find myself getting upset at people. Oh, so I'm waiting, you know, or I'm in the traffic circle and I'm coming around, and so I have the right of way, and this guy comes and he zips right in front of me, right? And I'm like, God, moron, cut me off, right? And then I'm the one who's sitting there. I see a car coming. He's got the right of way, and I think, I got plenty of time, and I zip and pretty much cut him off, and I think, psh, you know? Or I'm behind a guy who's waiting forever, and I'm like, just go already, you know? And and when someone stops in the traffic circle, so you're in the traffic circle and you have the right of way and you're yielding to the people coming in, oh man, just makes a guy want to smoke marijuana, because it's the only way I can calm down. I'm just kidding, I won't do that, I've never done that. It's all right. It's okay. See? Anyways. But it's in those moments that I need to get over myself. Because I think that I'm so awesome. I think that I'm the best driver. But it switches depending on which side of the, you know, incident that I'm on. You know, whether I'm the guy who isn't going or whether I'm the guy who is going when he shouldn't. You know what I mean? We need to get over ourselves. There's a story in 2 Kings about a general. He was his name was Naaman, and he was the general of the army and the enemy of Israel. So he has leprosy, and he hears that there is a person in Israel who can heal him. And so he goes to the king, and the king says, "Yeah, I'll write you a letter to the king of Israel. You go over there, and I'll tell him that he should heal you." And so the king of Israel gets this letter. He's like, "Oh, what? I've got to heal this guy?" And then, but the prophet who was able to do that heard about what was going on. And he said, "No, just send him to me." Okay. So Naaman goes to the prophet. I think it was Elijah. And he's on his way there, and his servant comes out. So not the prophet himself, not the big gun, but the servant comes out and says, "Hey, all you got to do is go dip yourself in the river." And in the Jordan River. And so this guy is a big general, and he's like, "What? He didn't even come out and see me, and he wants me to dip into that disgusting river? I'm not doing that." And he gets offended, and he almost misses the opportunity to be healed of his leprosy. This is what it says in 2 Kings 5:11. "But Naaman became angry and stalked away." So basically, he threw a hissy fit. "I'm not doing it." That's what he did. That's what it means. That's a modern translation. Naaman threw a hissy fit. "I thought he would certainly come out and meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me." So another thing that we need to get over in getting over ourselves are our expectations. Sometimes they're just absolutely ridiculous because we think we're so awesome that we expect everyone else to be as awesome as we are. And when they're not, you know, when they're the morons that we think they are, then we get offended. But part of getting over ourselves is to like understand that our expectations sometimes are just ridiculous. We can't even meet them. So Naaman gets upset, storms off, but one of his servants says, he's like, "Excuse me, O great general," however he addressed him. But he's like, "If he told you to do some great mighty thing, some great noble thing, wouldn't you have done it? And yet all he's asking you to do is go dip in a river." And so, you know, good for Naaman that he decided, okay, all right, I'll do it. He goes and dips in the river, and he's healed. And God is honored through that. But it took a minute. He had to get over himself and his expectations. So we need to get over ourselves if we really want to live a life being unoffended. The next one is get the plank out of your own eye. This is very similar. But Colossians, in the verse says, make allowances for each other's faults. So this is that one where it's really easy to see all the things wrong with everybody else, but not with us. And we make sure that we point all those out. Ecclesiastes 7:21-22 says, do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. So be careful. You're going to hear all this stuff. And you got to be careful because someday you may hear someone cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself cursed others. Once again, we get so upset at these things we hear and these offensive things that we do ourselves. Take the plank out of your own eye. And that reference comes from Matthew 7, where it says, and why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? So in that scripture, Matthew's saying, look, you've got this massive tree coming out of your eyeball, which is really an interesting image. You've got this tree coming out of your eyeball, you know, it's like a California redwood, you know, and you're worried about this tiny little speck of sawdust in your friend's eye or everyone else's.
get that tree out of your own eye first. Don't be constantly ragging on everybody. Examine yourself. Get over yourself and then allow the Lord to speak truth to you. And this is where we can get offended by hearing the truth. Because sometimes people speak things to you or you read things in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit convicts you and you get offended. That's not me. I'm not like that. Or in other ways, you hear a good sermon and you hear something in the sermon and you're like, oh, that is so good for so-and-so. I wish my spouse was here. You know, I wish my friend was here. Are my kids getting this? You know? And it's like, well, maybe you need to get it. Quit pointing at everybody else. Take that truth and allow it to change your life and don't get offended because that leads to a hard heart, which means that the Lord can't do things in your life. Once again, not because it's like this magic thing, weirdness going on. It's because God loves you and he wants you to change. But if you're not going to let him, he's not going to force you. He wants you to surrender your life to him. And in that moment, stuff happens. So get the plank out of your own eye. The next thing we need to do is stand down, mister. Or missus, as the case may be. Or miss. Stand down. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool... These are the ones that are like, we get offended at. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. You got a short fuse? That's not good. You need to work on that. You need to stand down. That's one thing that we got to make sure we're not doing and just like, well, that's just the way I am. Okay, great. But you don't have to stay that way. Because the Bible says if you got a short fuse and you got a temper, that you're a fool. Oh, not me. I have a righteous anger. They offended me in a way that was unrighteous, and I have a righteous offense in return. No, you're just a fool. Yep. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. So a man's wisdom, so as we learn about the Lord, as we allow him to change us, as we grow in wisdom and maturity, as you grow up, then we get patience. And that patience leads to this, when it says it's a glory, that's like something that is about you that's evident. It's like almost like a badge that says, I'm patient. And when you do it, when you overlook an offense, people start seeing that. And you become the person that they want to be around. Because you don't get offended at all the time. It doesn't mean that people aren't insulting you. It says you overlook an offense. So you're going to get offended, right? We know that. Life happens. We get offended. People say stupid stuff all the time. If you hang out with me for very long, I'm sure I'm going to tick you off. You know? But we overlook that offense, and people start seeing that. They start understanding that we're a person that it's safe to be around. We're a person that it's safe to share things with. We're a person that actually cares about us. We're a person that's just not going to freak out over everything. And people want to be around you. It is to your glory to overlook an offense. People see that. And that's part of what this is about. It's not just about us looking good, but in that place, then people who don't know the Lord, when you go out there and you're living your daily life, people will see that because it's so different. It's so countercultural. It is so countercultural right now to not get offended. Did you know they said this about Christians? I don't know. It's probably true. I don't care. You know, did you know that Jesus loves you? You know, I mean, it's like we get offended over everything, but people will see it. This isn't just like maybe. This is the Word of God saying it is to your glory if you overlook an offense. And it's not saying what kind of offense. It's not saying whether the offense is legit or whether it's not, whether it's stupid or whether it's full on, whether they're speaking the absolute truth, you know, whether it's something big that someone has done to you. It's not saying that. It's saying it's to your glory to overlook an offense, and ultimately to God's glory when you do that. Because the only way you can do that is by gaining wisdom, and the only way you gain wisdom is by knowing God. So one of the things about this stand down to get the patience is we need to get to understand people's stories. We need to start understanding where they're coming from. And it's called a paradigm shift. You know, you've probably heard that before, but it's amazing how you can change your attitude towards something or towards a situation that happens if you just take a moment and really understand what's going on. Because a lot of times people aren't trying to be offensive. It just happens. Sometimes it just happens. I had a story, once again, I was coming through the traffic circles. I tell you, I mean, it's like this training ground every time I go through it for me. So sometimes I avoid them and just go, you know, around. But anyways, I'm going through this traffic circle, and there's this guy, he's got a big lifted truck, you know, the big tires and the whole thing, and he's this loud truck. Oh, he's got his windows rolled down, and he's like, he's doing that. And I hear this music. There's, you know, he's got his windows open and the music's going and you can hear it. And it was kind of, it was offensive. It was annoying. I'm just like, shh, moron, you know, that kind of thing. And, so we come up and, I think we were yielding to the, inside traffic on one of the circles. And then when we went, he'd go, you know, and take off. And then we got to a light and I was a couple of cars behind him. So I couldn't get up right up beside him because I would have given him the glare. I wouldn't have. Maybe I would have. I don't know. It wouldn't have been the finger. It would have been a glare, just so you know. But anyways, we were sitting there, and then the light turns green, and off he goes. And I could still hear the music playing. And then I start, so the people in front of me start peeling off for some reason, and I start catching up to him. And I get up to him, and I can hear the music louder, and I'm thinking, that music's a little odd. Because, you know, you're expecting a gooch, 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 you know, that kind of thing, or something like that, or something with some bass, or maybe some AC/DC or something. I don't know. But it's princess music. It's from like a Disney movie. And I'm thinking, okay, this is really offensive. Let it go. Let it go. You know, or whatever. And I get up beside him, and I look in the front, and he's rocking. He's got one hand in the air, and he's singing whatever song it is. It's this princess song. And then I look in the back seat, and I see in the back seat, there's this girl in a car seat. Young little girl. She's dressed in pink. And she's got her hands in the air. And she's waving them like she just don't care. And she's laughing and giggling and having the best time of her life with her daddy. And I thought, oh, I am such an idiot. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like the music wasn't that loud. You know, when I first heard it, it's like, that's obnoxious. But it wasn't like that bass, you know, when you pull up beside a guy and it's a boom. And your windows are rattling. It wasn't even close to that. It was just some music. And when he was taken off, you know, the wah! I mean, it wasn't as bad as rolling coal on a Prius. Now, I don't know if you guys know what that means, but it's an actual term where these guys will, they'll take their trucks. They got these big lifted diesel trucks. And they will remove all of the EPA required things so that when they step on the gas, this massive black cloud of smoke comes out. And so what they'll do is they'll pull up beside a Prius. And then they'll just hammer it and engulf this entire Prius in this nice black smoke. It's called rolling coal. And I want you to know, I learned that from my son, Josh. And I'll let you ask him if he's ever done it or how he knows about that or whether he did it to his truck. That's, I'm not saying. I'm not going to throw him under the bus. But, well, maybe I will. But anyways, if you look online, look at rolling coal and then Prius, do a Google search, and you'll see they've got videos because the guys like to video it and post it, you know. And there's actually a whole website on what to do if you're a Prius owner on how to counteract that. It's hilarious. But he wasn't doing that. He was just kind of revving it up, and every time he did it, his girl would giggle. And there was this immediate paradigm shift. I'm thinking, okay, he's not the jerk I am. This guy's just out having a fun time. He wasn't doing anything illegal. He wasn't like burning his tires out or you know what I mean. And once again, it's like the music wasn't that loud. And it was princess music. It wasn't rattling my windows. So there's a paradigm shift. If we take a moment sometimes to get to know people, to get to know what's behind what they're doing, maybe we wouldn't get offended all the time. Maybe you'd start seeing a pain and a hurt there. They're just lashing out. There's a saying, hurt people, and it's true. You know, we have these wounds in our lives, and sometimes it causes us to hurt people. And I think if we take some time to get to know one another and we start assuming the best about people, we start giving them the benefit of the doubt instead of, you know, assuming that everything they're doing is offensive to me and they're trying to be offensive and they're trying to this, that, and the other thing, I think we'd be unoffended way more often and we'd be able to let it go. So lastly, the last thing we need to do is forgive quickly. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers over an offense promotes love, but he who repeats the matter separates close friends." So when you cover over an offense, meaning by just letting it go, you know, or if it was a legitimate offense, we forgive early, it promotes love. And that's what we should be about, right? Love God, love people. How do we do that? Get over yourself and quit being offended about everything. And in Colossians, we already read, and forgive, this is what they're saying to us, and forgive anyone, not just, you know, the unlegitimate offenses, not just the petty ones, not just the, forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, and this is why, the Lord forgave you, so you must. This gets offensive too. What? I must forgive? Yes, yes you do. If you want to live a God-fearing life, if you want to honor Jesus, if you want to love God and love people, you must forgive. And I'm not saying that's easy, but we must forgive. And do it quickly. You know, instead of hanging on to that offense, let it go quickly. We get offended sometimes. We can train ourselves. Our culture's training itself to get offended without really knowing the whole story. We get offended. Someone posts something on Facebook or we hear the headline, you know, from a news media or whatever source we're taking, and we just, a headline offends us. We don't hear the whole story. And it's sad to say, but they do that on purpose. It's called clickbait. They want you to click on headlines. They want to click you on things. And because there's so much noise out there, everything's got to escalate for them to get you to go and click on their stories. And so they make the headlines these catchy phrases that are going to tick people off. And then you're going to just raw. And then a lot of times you just don't even want to read it. Or you read the first two sentences and you go, yeah, that's what I thought. You know, but you haven't read the whole story. It's called clickbait. And we take it hook, line, and sinker all the time. But we must forgive. We must be able to forgive. And I'm not, once again, it's not easy to do. And this is what we need help with. And this is why we need to get over ourselves and allow Jesus to show us how to forgive. Because it says, He forgave us as He forgave us. Did He just forgive some of your sins? Did He just forgive the big ones or the legitimate ones? No, He forgave all sins of all humanity, right? Did He not? So what He did? Did He forgive just certain people? Did He forgive those who cleaned themselves up first? Did He forgive those who, you know, did He die for those who, you know, were part of a special cult club thing? Nope. For God so loved the world that He gave, right? Anyone, everyone, all the time. And that can be really hard. And that can be really offensive sometimes to think about forgiving someone who legitimately hurt you. That's why it's so hard, and that's why we need Jesus. So the big idea here, and we'll close with this, is living unoffended allows Jesus to move in us and through us to bring life to the world around us. Living unoffended allows Jesus to move in us, make us whole, make us healthy, and then move through us to bring life to the world around us. That's what it's about. That's why we're here. It's really simple. We're here to love God and love people. And then to go out there and love God and love people wherever we're at. Our coworkers, our kids, our neighbors, the people we see at the grocery store, the people we see at the gym, we're supposed to love them. And yeah, there is a ton of offensive stuff out there. I get it. I know. I, you know, You don't become a pastor if you have really thin skin. You don't become a pastor to be a guy who, you know, gets affirmed and gets built up. You know, it's easily to be offended when you're a pastor. It's easily to be offended for other people when you're a pastor, because you hear some stupid stuff that happens to good people, you know, and it's hard sometimes not to take offense. But life happens, and we must forgive. So get over yourself, right? Forgive quickly. Do the things you need to do. Get the plank out of your own eye. You know, do the things you need to do to be right with the Lord and live a holy life. Colossians says, clothe yourselves. So that's put on. So it's not just something, it's not magic fairy dust, but it's something that we do every day. We clothe ourselves. We put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's what it's telling us. Put these things on. Learn how to walk in those things. And then watch the Lord use you. Because if there's one thing that's very countercultural, if there's one thing that will make you stand out, is living a life that's unoffended. Especially in our culture today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand up? I'd like to pray for you. Jesus, I thank you first and foremost of all the things that you have done for us. I thank you that you died on the cross for our sins. I thank you that you love us deeply. I thank you, Lord God, that the things you've asked us to do, that we can do. We can live a life that is untroubled. We can live in a way that's unhurried. And we can live a life that's unoffended. Jesus, I ask for each one of us here that this week you would teach us what it means to forgive quickly. That you'd teach us what it means to lay our lives down at your feet and have you change us. God, teach us what it means to love you well. Teach us what it means to love people well. In all the circumstances of life, help us keep our eyes open to what you're doing. Help us keep our eyes open to how you are calling us to change and to grow and to mature and to be more like you. Help us keep our eyes open to the hurt and the pain and the suffering that's going on around us, so that we can bring life and love and grace into those situations. Help us to be transformed by your word and not conform to our culture and to society. Teach us your ways, O God. Fill us with your life and your joy, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.